or help an only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 424, the second stanza. He has remembered all his mercy, his truth declared to Israel. The ends of earth have seen his glory, his ways in majesty excel. Then make a joyful noise before him, O all ye earth, his praises sing. With loud acclaim let all adore him, and let the joyful anthem sing. The second stanza, 424. In the coming times, I hope to explain the letter of Paul to the Romans for a certain reason. is a lack of spiritual knowledge about the justification of the ungodly. And I think I should go text by text by the whole book, that God might bless his own word and set people free from condemnation to be a child of God by grace. So we continue this morning and start with the first chapter of the book of Romans, the first chapter of the book, the letter of Paul to the Romans, the first chapter, but before the Ten Commandments, please.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So far.
Let's seek to pray to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, give us to pray. Christ, the spirit of prayer and supplication. It's only in thy spirit that we can enter in Christ, the holiest of holies, that thy footstool. And therefore, O Lord, cover us from the pulpit with thyself, please. Cover us with that white robe of righteousness if thou hast done so, and if thou hast done so, that we might just trust in him. Like he has said, if you ask something in my name, on my account, I will give it to you. And I ask thee to give the congregation and their souls to thyself. Set them free. Take away the captivity of their souls to sin, the darkness of their hearts. Shine upon us, please, once more. We thank thee that thou hast taken care of us in the weeks when we were in our old fatherlands and motherlands, and we thank thee thou hast blessed the ministry, setting people free to be liberated from curse and sin. O Lord, we have seen thou hast an arm with power, great grace and mercy from eternity to eternity. We thank thee that everything went as it went in the congregation. We pray for the sick. We're happy that we have heard that Mr. Vandenberg is walking a bit again. Be with him. Save his soul. Remember the other sick and afflicted, that it might be useful to their conversion. If thou art chastising and there is no fruit in it, it will be in vain and testifying against us. O Lord, remember us as a congregation in all weakness, in all afflictions, in attacks from right and left, and give us that true faith, that conversion, that repentance and faith, repentance towards the Father, and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, open the scriptures, please, please, and apply it to the souls, that Christ might visit us, preaching the gospel himself by his servants. Lord, we pray, have mercy upon us. Remember the young people at school. School started again. Give the teachers faithfulness to thy word. Give them liberty to teach not only mathematics and languages, and for the Christian school is there specially for a purpose. Our old fathers said that the greenhouses of the church. Therefore we have to look if they teach properly the doctrines of grace, and if we don't and give it up, we are wrong. And now we pray for the teachers at which school, homeschoolers, the mothers might sometimes be difficult. But give our children to revere their parents, and especially mother at homeschooling. Lord, give them obedience, love, and continuance to learn, but especially make the mothers witnesses today. Lord, remember the country in which we live, but the world is thy field. You're just a part of it. Remember the work in Montreal, Laval University, in Serbia, when next week our dear friends is going to the university in Niš. We pray that we have heard that we're working there. We pray that the work might be blessed when they go there.
Remember the dead church in which we are a part of, left alone. Lord, don't give us over to all kinds of religions. With almighty might thou work a long gospel to the glory of thy holy name. Ask, Lord, I have to ask a lot, but thou hast said you're allowed to. And I'm pleading upon thy word, but thou hast said it thyself. When we are pleading on thy dear Son, thou hearest. And please hear us for the conversion of souls in the congregation. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Congregation, I was troubled what to do. What to preach. I've been in the Netherlands and I saw that there is a lack of knowledge concerning the truth. And then I remembered the little and small congregation here. And I thought we need renewance of the doctrines of sovereign grace. And I said to the Lord, which letter should I preach? And Galatians or Romans? And I think he led me to the book of Romans, and we hope to continue. Not every Sunday, as other things are at stake, let's say prayer day or other days, but we hope to continue some verses through the whole book of Romans. This morning we hope to start it with the first six verses. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Congregation, these six verses show a testimony of grace in the life of the Apostle Paul himself. And in principle, he teaches the whole doctrine out of his own life, experienced by grace. And therefore he says, by whom we have received grace. He didn't say, there is a hope for grace. No, he said, I have received grace. It's mine. God gave it to me. Secondly, I'll deal with it in the apostleship. God gave a ministry to me to be an apostle. An apostle means a missionary, although the apostles were in the first place the heads of the ministry of the word in the first age of Christianity. For obedience to the faith. I read the Greek. And if you easily read it here, obedience to the faith means that you have to obey to the faith. That's legal. And I thought in the grounds in the Greek, it's not said so. And in the Dutch Statenvertaling, it's said this, obedience of the faith. If you believe in Christ, you're obedient to the law perfectly. That's what it said here. He did it. And later on in this chapter he says it also. The righteousness of God is revealed. That's not my righteousness. That's the righteousness God provides freely in Christ Jesus, received by faith.
united with him by a true saving faith. For it's not obedience to the faith, it's obedience of, as a fruit of faith. Obedience towards God is a fruit of faith. And well, congregation, we have read this, and I'll try to explain it from the beginning, but let's first think 220, 1, 2, and 4. 220, 1, 2, and 4, and there will be held the collections. 220, 1, 2, and 4. Great Shepherd who leadeth thy people in love. The cherubim dwelling shine thou from above, in might come and save us, thy people restore. And who shall be saved when, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 220, 1, 2, and 4. brother of Paul, I mean of the Holy Ghost, using Paul, we first find the sender who has sent the letter. In these six verses, Paul testifies that he is, as a means in God's hand, the sender of this letter, used by the Spirit of God. And then later on, you see the address to all that be in Rome. That's the seventh verse. Beloved of God. So first the sender, and then the address. It's a letter written by the Holy Ghost, by the hands and hearts of Paul, as a means in his hands. And now this morning we deal with the sender, Paul. Paul means the little one. A big one became a little one, that's grace. He says, I trusted in the flesh, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, but he became a little one. On other places he even says, I became a nothing because God is my all. Some have said, because he probably was not big in his body. Do you think so? I don't think so. If God comes in your life, you become a little one. A nothing, for an all in all, that's Christ himself. This is the honorable name of a servant of God. He is a little one, way too big, but a little one. Paul. And then the word says, a servant of God. Originally the word says, a slave of God. Owned by God the Father, given to the Son, that he might set him free by grace. To be a servant of God. And again, congregation, when I thought about these things, a legalist will say, now I have to serve God. No! God used Paul for his ministry. God served Paul to minister. Legalists say, now I have to serve God. But your hands are wrong and your feet are not right. If God doesn't serve you, how can you serve God? You can't. Nonsense. He says, I'm a slave of God, a liberated slave with love, and God uses me. How do you know? Well, Paul says it later, in Galatians, I think, God worked mightily among and by me among the heathen. God used me, he said. And therefore the Lord Jesus says, I'm not come, and I didn't come to be ministered at, but to minister. God used Paul for the conversion of his people. So he was ministering by the ministry of the Holy Ghost in his ministry. He didn't say, I have to serve God. That's legalism. For after grace, you're even improper and not able without him to serve him. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. Let them talk. We'll bring you back to Egypt. Let them talk. We'll capture you again. What a wonder if God will use this monster to to be in the ministry of him, to be used to save and set free his people. Now that's what's said here. Paul doesn't say, I'm such a good minister. He says, yes, I labored more than everyone, but not me, but the grace that is with me. This is what I'm saying. But the grace that is with me. If God sends his Spirit to use you, you will be used. And if the Spirit did not move in you, you're dead as a dead dog. Without me, you can't do anything. So no legalism. Gospel preaching. Sovereign grace preaching. Young people, you must pray that God uses this poor man here. A lump of flesh, but by grace, owned by the Lord Jesus, for the conversion of your souls. For faith is by the hearing of the word of God. No more, no less. That's what Paul testifies here. To be an apostle, called to be an apostle. Congregation, it's normally so that if God saves a soul, he immediately calls them, if he is to be a minister, to the ministry. If he saves a soul, when he saved the soul of Paul by faith in Christ, revealing himself to him, he immediately got a call to the ministry, isn't it? That happened on the way of Damascus. If God has saved your soul and you have to be a minister, he immediately called you into the ministry. There is no difference. Therefore he says, a slave by grace, owned by Christ, paid for, set free by his Spirit, the liberty to be called or to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. Now, his own purpose was preaching, separated from the world, even separated from a marriage. He had only one goal, to preach the gospel of God. Sometimes God takes away your wife to be separated to the ministry of God. Might be, I don't know which ministry. I don't know. But if God has a minister, he has separated a servant for the gospel of God. God separated to him. And therefore he said, it's better not to have a wife. Oh yeah. Peter had a wife, so. But he says that I can be busy in the things of God. And if you have a wife, says Paul, then you have to please your wife too. And I know it, and I'm happy to please her. But separated, set apart for the gospel of God, God the Father. Listen, the gospel is proceeding from God the Father. He wanted to be reconciled. It's his decision. We didn't ask for it. Paul didn't even want it. Separated to the gospel of God. God is having a gospel. Isn't it a wonder? That although we sinned against him, he has to have a gospel preached. He wants to save his own. And the gospel should be preached.
And if he gives you liberty by the Holy Ghost, you know it. Proceeding from the Father from eternity. It's by the Son, through the Holy Ghost, the gospel of God. He said, it's not my gospel, it's gospel of God. Serving, used by him. And then he connects the Old and the New Testament, and that's important today too. He says, in the Old Testament was the gospel promised. In the New Testament, it's fulfilled. We believe in one covenant, not in two. One covenant of grace. We believe that Abel was saved like Paul tells us. No different. And you know it, we have dealt with it, Genesis 15. And he believed God and it was counted unto him unto righteousness. He was the chief of sinners which counted to him the righteousness of the coming Lord for righteousness. And if you preach, and liberals and evangelicals do it, they say in the Old Testament were people different converted than in the New Testament. Not true. One covenant, one grace, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And if you change it, better leave. So you're not according to the Word of God, speaking nor believing. Listen, in New Testament days they had only the Old Testament. And if you see Stephen preaching on the day of, after he was persecuted, what did he preach? The Old Testament and the fulfillment of it by Christ. God the Father promised and congregation, that's wonderful. God always first promised before he conferred grace. No, yes. Saul of Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus, was beaten down by light, not by the end of his own works. God showed his holiness. And that was the end of him. It's the holiness of God that he fell down. Now, what happened then? What happened then? He couldn't eat for 3 days and three nights. But tell me, did he get a promise? God said to him, Ananias will come and lay hands on you and you will see again, set free. Sometimes God sustains in dark days with promises. But listen, don't believe that the promise is enough. You need the application of the promise. Paul stayed to be blind until God made his promise faithful. And Ananias came and laid a hand on him and he saw him. God liked lighting God. And you know it, in dark days, sometimes God came to the in promises. Otherwise you would have laid in hell. He sustains his people. But be aware. We live in a time and age that they say you have enough with the promises. Not true. Abram has seen the day of the Lord Jesus afar off and embraced. Fulfilled. Seeing the lamb slaughtered, or the ram slaughtered at the Mount of Moriah, that's Jerusalem. And congregation in the prophets in the Old Testament, I even believe that in the Old Testament we see the traces of the Jesus faith. And that Jude that was converted, he first wrote Christ out of the Old Testament, and then he wrote the second book, and he said, this he is, this he is, this he is, this he is, this he is. If you can preach Christ out of the Old Testament, you can preach. What is Old and New Testament then? Is that another testament? No, it's a fulfilled testament. It's the same test, it's the same covenant. But it's fulfilled. What God has promised, he did. And we trust in his word. Old and new. And therefore I can hardly speak about a New Testament. I can only say a renewed testament. New made new in Christ. Fulfilled in him. And congregation, please, if they teach you that the Old Testament and the law is done, don't go there. If they preach you a Christ without conviction, don't go there. If they preach a Christ without preaching the promise of the Old Testament, it's not Christ. And it's fulfilled, it's renewed. Now, well, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, how is it fulfilled and shown? By the resurrection of the dead. First, I have to go to verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. That's his divine nature. He was divine before he became man. He took upon him the human nature. It's God entered into the flesh. Which was made of the seed of David, to the flesh, to his human nature. He was a son of David, Judah. Isn't it? So he was God, and his person is God, and he took upon him his human nature. And he is still God. Therefore, he was revered and worshipped. But he took upon him my human nature in weakness, able to die, able to suffer, able to be separated from his Father. And this is important. Why did he take upon him my human nature? To be what I am not, to do what I can't, and to pay what I can pay. Three things. Congregation, I've said it. Forgive me if I'm a bit too sharp tonight. He is my substitute. God gave me a substitute. And if I have not a substitute, it's over with me, even after grace. The whole sacrificial ministry is substitution. He is what I'm not, an unfallen Adam. And I am a fallen Adam, total depraved, hating God and my neighbor. And he doesn't. And he has been it for me.
Secondly, God says that I should stick to the law, fully, spiritually, and always. And the good I do, the good I should, I didn't. And the evil I don't, I do. But God says I give my son to fulfill the law. Ye condemned sinner, to set you free at liberty. When he cried out at the cross, it is finished. Paid, obeyed for all his people. Lastly, he paid the price, not with gold and silver, but he paid the price of my sins, my guilt and shame, by his precious, precious blood. Oh, that blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. So he had to be made man, take upon him the human nature, my human nature. And therefore, the angels in Bethlehem, when the shepherds were hearing, were singing, God or honor to God, God had his man back. Now listen to me. Even if no one would be converted, God had his Adam back. And therefore the angels were praising God. And congregation, do you know what salvation? Sharing. Being united with him. And then God has you as his Adam back. A new Adam. For everyone that's in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Why not? And you know it. The day when you were united, losing everything, the whole world was new for you. That peace with God and a love that you can bear. You were a new creature. And congregation, why I say this, I was in the Netherlands, and I shouldn't boast, and I don't boast, but a young man came to liberty. God used a fool like me, preaching, setting him free from darkness and guilt to the liberty of the children of God. And now I see that where you are in the world, God might use the ministry. And I pray the Lord that some might be. And I would ask all to be set free. From the curse of sin to the liberty of the children of God. And he's mighty to do it. But we need to preach the law to condemnation and the gospel to salvation. And if it's different, don't believe it. We come to it in this whole letter of Paul. Now by his resurrection, his divine nature raised his human nature. His human nature didn't raise himself. But the divine nature, because he had paid the penalty of sin to death and satisfied the righteousness of God, the divine nature raised him. In the Bible you see the Father raised him. But in the Bible you also read that he raised himself. For he and the Father are one. And therefore he is proved to be God's Son by the resurrection of the dead. God was satisfied, dear friend. God is satisfied with his Son for all his people. Therefore he raised him and took away the death. And therefore the child of God, when he believes in Christ as a condemned sinner,
has eternal life. Doesn't get eternal life. Has eternal life.
Now, Pastor, you're preaching too loud for me. Oh, forget about it. We'd hear it anyway. For you're traveling to an eternity and the judgment seat of Christ. And you might be there tomorrow. Oh, that you might attend the words, preach the dying. But let's sing first again, 368, 1 and 2. 368, 1 and 2. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let his house be thy abode, forever with thy precious blessed. 1 and 2, 368. By whom, that's is a mediator, Christ, by whom, not from whom, but by whom, we have received grace. God has given us grace, he said. What's grace? Grace is bowing to a sinner of the judge. He bends, he bows there. The sinner doesn't bow to God, but God bows as a judge. Listen. If God comes in your life, he bows as a judge to your soul. He brings you in judgment. That's the word grace. That's chana. Chana is grace. But chana is the judge bowed to a condemned and lost sinner.
it all proceeds from him. Every act to save your soul is proceeding from him. From your youth to your last, when you're a child of God. And he says, this grace I owned. He says, I don't hope in that grace. He says, I got that grace as my own. Do you hear the difference? Some people say, I might hope to have it. No, he said, I got it, and by faith I own it. It's to me, given. God gave me his grace. It's owned by faith. You hear what I'm saying? If I would ask someone of the children of God, do you own grace? They would say, yes, for he owned me. He says, it's yours, grace, in Christ. Now, I'm not going all over because we come to the chapters. But if grace is given, you own it. It's yours, given to you. And he doesn't take it from you anymore. Some people say, today he gives grace and faith and tomorrow I don't have it. Nonsense. It's irreproachable. If God gives a sinner grace in this congregation, he'll know it. It's a given grace, and God doesn't take it from you in Christ. And I'm not going into all details. It comes. Now that's what Paul says. It's not hoped for, but it's given, received. But God gave in Christ Jesus. Secondly, so that's grace. I've dealt with it already a bit. And secondly, for obedience to the faith. I was reading it in the King James Version, and I had read it in the Greek, and it wasn't right. So this night I said, Lord, what is it? Yeah, strange, eh? And he answered me. He says, if you believe in Christ, you're perfect obedient and you even didn't fall. It's obedience received from faith in Christ. It's the righteousness of God given to you. Not by law, but a righteousness which has the testimony of the law and the prophets. Without the law, without doing. Or say it different. He gives the righteousness of Christ to you as if you had done it yourself. That's it. So, Paul deals with it later. He says, yeah, is the promise against the law? No, he says the promise confirms the law. Now I have to explain it. I see in your eyes I have to explain it more. Christ fulfilled the law by obedience, inward and outward. And he didn't do it for himself. He fulfilled the law for his people. That's the righteousness that God requires of them. By faith. And he gives it. What he requires, gives. If I believe in Christ, I am a man as if I have never fallen or done any evil. Now I don't believe you, Pastor. That's up to you, man. That's up to you. But I know it. And Paul knew it. As if he had never sinned.
forgiven from time, past, present, and future. Not only. In him, I've never done any evil nor any sin. No, I don't believe you, Pat. I mean, okay, mix your own law with the law of Christ and with the obedience you want to serve God. It's in vain. For the good you want, you don't. And the thing you hate, you do. In these weeks, I saw that a child of God can fall in sin without living it. And then I said, Lord, how can a child of God fall in sin? And he showed me, because they desire that sin. If you fall in sin, you first desire it. And you seek the opportunity, you do it. That's what James says. Then the desire is made fruitful. Why do we have law against your desires? To warn you. For every sin is in you. In it? Not in me, not in me. You are better within me. And if God let me go, I fall in every sin. Therefore he says, he takes away in the latter days the restraint. He restrains us. Even in a general sense. But in the latter days, God takes away the restraint. And earth will be hell. Sodom and Gomorrah alike. And we are in it. And we went that slow that probably you don't even see it. But it will be worse. Even in this chapter it's shown. But God's people, faithing and believing in Christ, believing in him, as a given Savior, will be as Noah in his days, preaching the righteousness of Jesus. By faith alone. And if you start going back to the law, you preach sin and righteousness. No, I preach and have to preach, and Paul does it, a finished law. The law of liberty. And I know it. Do you know it? You know it. That the moment you believed for the first time, you were perfect in his sight. And do you know the word for it? Peace. Surpassing all understanding. Nothing between me and God anymore. And a desire to be with him. They are set free. And where the Spirit of God is, sealing faith is the liberty. But if you mix it with your own work, you spoil it. Then Christ says, I'm a full Savior or nothing of you. Now that happened in the days of Paul. The false brethren who came from a side into the church, not by the door, that's not by Christ, were false brethren, teaching that you have to fulfill the law yourself partly and rest in Christ for the rest. Nonsense! Nonsense. Not true. You think that you can come before God with your doings and leavings? I may come for the Lord and Christ will stand in between and says, Father, I finished my work for this fool, this sinner. And in him, he is a new creature. In me. Among all nations, that gospel has been preached among all nations and will be preached. God will gather them from east and west, north and south, and together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ? Called of Jesus Christ. Called of Jesus Christ. He says, I call you. You're mine. I know you. I'll save you. And I know there are here. And I believe there will be more. He's promised me. We'll continue by explaining the book of Romans when God gives his grace. Some words and then we'll end. This is a witness. Paul witnesses here out of his own life. And congregation, that's what the children of God should do, witness. I always try to convince people or convict people. I can't. God can only do it by his word. But he says, you will be witnesses of these things. When people start to argue with you, witness what God did to your soul. Don't argue with them. And if they don't believe it, that means no peace. Take away the dust of your feet and go to another place. Witnessing. We live in our days in a rather silent place, even in the Netherlands. Many are under the yoke of the law again. Ah, yeah, I shouldn't tell all these things. But when God revived them, and he did it under the ministry, and God knows, and I'm not boasting, they started to witness again. They started to witness again. They started to plead with sinners for Christ's sake. They couldn't keep their mouth shut. And if it is renewed in your life, isn't it, you start to witness again what God did to your soul. And that's what you should do. Or let Luther witness. By his letters or books. But now I have a question. Can you witness? Now be honest. Or are you just a stranger of God and your soul? Then you're in jeopardy. And I know you can easily witness and say, I know it, and not knowing it. Is your conscience free in witnessing? Do you have a free conscience when you witness? Is God testifying with you when you witness? Or are you boasting in things you don't know? Could be true. I'm not saying it is. God knows. But do you know what's witnessing? Of these things and of me, I'll make you a witness. And when God fills you again, your mouth is overflowing of his honor. And you sing the best psalms you ever sung. So Paul is witnessing. He says, what you might say, I know it. And now I start to explain it. First the address. He says, I know it. Today it seems to be better not to know it. Better to doubt than to know it. Do you know why? Party under the law, never released, never set free. And you know what? And then did the false brethren, coming from a sight, across the wall. They made the church silent. Because if you preach the law connected to the law of liberty in Christ, you preach sin, and you build up what Paul later said, what God has broken down. You start building it up again. And then your mouth is shut. For he is the accuser of the brethren, and he knows your dirty tricks. But he never points to Jesus as a rotten sinner in need of him. Secondly, I hope there might be a witness. A witness is confessing. And confessing is saying the same as the word of God. Homologio means saying the same as God says in his word. in congregation. When I read the books of Luther, he witnessed. When I read the sermons of John Newton, he witnessed a wretch like me, saved by pure grace. If I read Paul in his letters, he witnessed about his dirtiness and beauty in Christ. And I hope we might have here in future witnesses of Jesus. By ungodly ones resting at his bosom, on his shoulders, set free by the spirit of liberty. Then you can keep your mouth when God saved my soul, and I'm now witnessing. I couldn't keep my mouth silent. I couldn't. But then the devil caught me. He says, "You hypocrite." I remember one day, and that's the end, and I'm saying it, you are allowed to do that. If you can't witness, you don't know what's saying. One day I said, I don't want to talk about me anymore. I want to talk about cars and the world and the pleasures of the world. I'm fed up with religion. Yeah, even after grace. What a terrible man. Are you? And one knocked at my door. He said, the Lord told me that I should ask you to tell about the Lord Jesus, and you're the man. I was full of shame, and God opened my mouth again to witness of that precious Savior who came to save the ruined ones, the lost, the condemned, with a closed door, and he opened it. Be of good cheer, dear friend. We have a mighty God and a gracious Savior. You need him, and he might be among us even today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, break through our walls of resistance and enmity. Cut our feet, our thoughts, the self-righteousness away. Bring us in judgment, for in that judgment of thee thou hast set thy people free. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord, and forgive us our boldness. If I was too sharp, and probably I wasn't, thou hast given me to say these things. But use, please, the ministry for little children, for those who desire sin, and wait for the opportunity to fall in it. Like thou hast said to Cain, thou shalt rule. And I can rule, Lord, rule over me, and please, don't let me go. Please don't let me go in my own ways. Let the congregation not go in their own ways. The souls, the eternities, the soul is in eternity. Let them not go in their own ways. Stop them, bless them, bring them to the knowledge of self and Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We end lastly with 426, 4 and 9. 426, 4 and 9. The Lord preserved the meek most tenderly, Thine I am, O Lord, thy servant, bound yet free. Thy handmaid son, whose shackles thou hast broken. 4:9, 4:26.
You may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living Lord, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.